Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
So how does it feel to be the boss? How does it feel like to be the ones in charge? You're in charge of your life. You're in charge of your destiny. Circumstances are not in charge. The world is not in charge. The way of the wind is not in charge. The devil is certainly not in charge. You're in charge. So say it. Say, I'm in charge of my destiny. Amen. We're the ones in charge. We rule and reign in life. So say, I'm ruling, and I'm reigning in my life. Glory to God. Yes, you are. Not trying to. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. And we are far, far, far above all the things that are going on in this natural world. We are far above it all. And we will have whatever we say. We'll have whatsoever things we desire. That's what we're going to have. It's going to happen exactly the way I say it. Because I'm in charge of my life and my destiny. And I will live and not die, and I will prevail and overcome every trial, every test that comes at me. I pass with flying colors because I'm a winner. Do I have any winners in the house? Somebody say, I'm a winner. Amen. We're not losers. We're winners. And we've been made to sit in the highest place of all creation. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're seated there right now. That's where you are right now. A lot of folks are very conscious of where they're sitting in the natural, according to the flesh. But we need to become even more conscious. Now, this I'm not just saying. We need to literally become as conscious of our heavenly seat, where we're seated spiritually, as we are conscious of where we're seated in the natural, and even go beyond that, where we're even more conscious. More conscious, more aware of where we are seated with authority in the spirit than where we are seated in the flesh. We are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4. But God, who is rich, that's good right there. God, who is rich in mercy, he's got lots of mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now notice that. It's past tense. This has already happened. How many people have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved? All right. Well, right along with that now, notice this. He says, we have been saved, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us, past tense, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So notice that again. We have been raised as surely as we were dead in trespasses and sins, and we were made alive. Surely as we were made alive in Christ Jesus, as surely as we have been saved, we have been raised up already and he made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So as surely as you know without a shadow of doubt that you're saved. Somebody, are you saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved. Are you seated? Are you seated? See? We're quick with the, yeah, I'm saved. Okay, well with that comes, I'm seated. I'm seated in the heavenly places. Now if you come back to Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him, there's that seat again, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named not only in this age or in this world, but also in that which is to come. So it involves this world, this time, this age, this life, and the life to come. And notice here it says Jesus is far above. He's seated where? Far above principalities. Principalities and powers and might and dominion. That's talking about all these demonic rulers that rule over this current world system. These principalities, powers, these rulers of the darkness, these spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Jesus has been raised up and he has been seated far above them. Far above them. How many believe that? How many know the devil can't touch Jesus? Can the devil touch Jesus? No, why can't he touch him? Because he's seated far. Far above him. Far above him. He's not just right there alongside of him. He's not just a few feet. If the devil, you know, if the devil jumps high enough, the devil gets a tall enough ladder, you know, he can get to Jesus. No, we know Jesus is way, 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 way out of the devil's league. Right? Way out of the devil's league. Seated far above. Well, the Bible tells us in 2:4 or 2:6 that he raised us up also and made us sit together with him. We're seated together with him in the heavenly places. Where's that? Far above. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm far above. What does that mean? That means the devil can't touch this. I had been preaching that, but yet one night after I had laid down to go to sleep, the devil came into my room. I mean, I sensed his presence. I woke up. I knew evil was in my room. I mean, you could almost cut the atmosphere with a knife. It was so thick and real. And so I began to rebuke it, told the devil, get out in Jesus' name. Went to try to go back to sleep, could not go back to sleep. I'd fall off to sleep, and then I'd wake right back up again to that evil presence. I said, get out! And I'd go out in the other room and start trying to pray, trying to drive the devil out, trying to get him out of my house. He's a killer. He's a murderer. How could I lie down and go to sleep knowing there's a devil in my house manifesting? So I commanded to go, did everything I knew to do to take care of the devil. Went back to bed to go to sleep. I was exhausted. It was in the middle of the night. Fell off to sleep. Woke right back up again to that same evil presence. And it kept going on. This went on night after night for a few nights. And I'm thinking, what's going on? I am taking authority over this devil, and he's not going. I told him to go, but he's still messing with me. So finally, out of exhaustion and desperation, I said, Lord, I said, I'm under an attack here. We're under an attack. I mean, I could feel it. The whole church is under an attack. I could feel it. And I no sooner uttered those words, we're under an attack, and these words came right back to me in my heart. Under my feet. Under my feet. And I stood up and I thought, wait a second. It feels like I'm under an attack. And I've always heard it taught that you could be under an attack. You know, I've heard all kinds of messages about being under, the church is under an attack. New level, new devil, and you know. You know, the devils get bigger as you go on with God. I mean, as you go on and grow up spiritually, the devils grow up. Bigger devils are coming after you. And I thought, my God, I've heard people talk about the strong man of Louisville. People have had visions and seen demons the size of skyscrapers. Big devils. I'm thinking, my God, the big devils are after me. You know. Have you know what I'm talking about? And so I said, you know, we're under an attack. And then those words came right back to me. Under my feet. Under my feet. And I said, wait a second. If the devil is under my feet, how could I be under his attack? Somebody's under somebody, and the Bible says the devil's under my feet. I said, devil, you're under my feet. I'm going to bed. I slept like a baby, been sleeping well ever since. Hallelujah. Why? Because that revelation came. This is finished. This is done. I'm over here using my faith to fight against someone that the Bible says has already been defeated, put under my feet, far below my feet. Far below. That doesn't mean he's right there afflicting your feet. My God, he's got access to my feet. No, glory to God, he's far beneath you. Hallelujah. We're far above him. Far above principalities and power. Every name that's, name the disease, name the condition, name the problem, bless God, it's far beneath you. You're far above it. You got authority over it. I got news for you. We don't need to be fighting the devil. Bless God, the devil's been defeated. He's been disarmed. He ain't got a weapon that he can form against you that'll prosper. Amen. Somebody say, no weapon,
no weapon
formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. That's good news. I said, that's good news. That's liberty right there. See, we need to enjoy our freedom. We need to enjoy our heavenly place. Enjoy our heavenly seat. So many people are still trying to climb Jacob's ladder. So many people are still trying to get there. Trying to get there. Trying to get their head above water. We're just trying to get our head above water over here at our house. You poor thing. If you're a Christian, you're believing a deception. You're believing a lie. Trying to get your head above water when you're seated far above. You're seated in him, in Christ, with him, in the heavenly places. Trying to get your head above nothing. You're above it all. I said, you're above it all. Hallelujah. Shout, I'm above it all. Amen. You are. You are above it all. So everything we do in life, we do from this place. From this heavenly seat. You know, Jesus understood the seat that he had in God the Father. He understood the authority that he had. He understood that he was in complete control of his life, complete control of his destiny. He couldn't be manipulated. He couldn't be oppressed. Professional Pharisees and religious people and political leaders tried so hard to destroy him, but they had no power over him. Why? Because he knew he was far above them. He knew he was far above them. And Jesus, you know, he would walk into a place and everybody would be standing and he would just go over and he would sit down. A lot of times when Jesus taught, he was sitting. Right? He came into his own hometown, went into the synagogue, opened up the scroll, the word of God, went to the book of Isaiah, and read where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach, right? Bring glad tidings. And he went ahead and preached that. And then he just closed it up. And he went over and he sat down. He just sat down. And then he began to teach. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus liked to sit down because he knew he was the King of Kings. He knew he was the Lord of Lords. He knew what kind of authority he had. He knew he was the boss in this world. He knew that. I like the time where he got into the boat with the disciples. And he said, you know, push out here from land a little bit. Because the crowds were so great, you know, he was concerned about getting crushed. So he went ahead and just got into the boat and pushed off a little bit from the land. And the Bible says that everybody was standing up on the beach. But Jesus sat down in the boat and began to teach. Another time he went on top of a mountain. Everybody was standing all around and Jesus sat down to teach. Jesus knew he was a seated king. He knew the authority that he had. Now, friend, you and I have that same seat in him. We have that same seat through him, through his name. You and I are the big bosses down here. You and I are in control down here. You and I have full authority over our lives down here in the name of Jesus. Jesus understood his seat. Whenever he communicated with the Father, whenever he prayed, he didn't pray as someone trying to get to the Father. Trying to get. Jesus saw himself seated right there with the Father in the heavenly places, far above. Even while he was here on the earth. Over in John chapter 3. In verse 13, Jesus is talking, of course. In verse 3, he talks about being born again. But in verse 13, he says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. And then it adds this, who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? New King James, who is in heaven? Notice that. He's talking, he's referring to himself here, and he says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. And here he is, standing on the earth. He came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he's in heaven while he's here on the earth. That's how he saw himself. He understood that about himself. Yeah, I'm down here on the earth, but I'm also in heaven. I'm also seated in heaven. Notice back here in John chapter 1. John 1 and in verse 18, the Bible says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus has declared him, has declared God the Father. But notice that. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is where? In the bosom of the Father. Now this was said while he was here on the earth. And yet it says he is in, present tense, he is in the bosom of the Father. New International Version says it this way. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Notice that. Who is at the Father's side, in the bosom of the Father, at the Father's side. That's where Jesus was while he was yet here on the earth. You and I are in the bosom of the Father. You and I are in Christ Jesus. You and I, according to the New International Version, You and I are at the Father's side right now. That's where we are right now. That's where we're seated right now. And you know what? The devil knows that. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. It's not that you're special in and of yourself, but it's because of his great mercy that you've been raised up and made to sit in this place at the Father's side in Christ, seated far above all principalities and power and every name that is named. Listen, we got to stir ourselves up in this reality. This is reality. This is the truth. When you know the truth, you can walk in total freedom. When you just know the truth, you can walk in total freedom, total victory. This is the place that we pray from, at the Father's side. This is the place that we pray from in our heavenly seat, far above the mess, far above the troubles, far above the fear, far above everything that the devil's trying to stir up in this world. That's where you and I pray from, in our heavenly seat, far above it all. We're not down here only praying up way far above, up there to the Father, to help us way down here. Oh, God, help me. Can you hear me? And that's where so many folks see themselves praying. Totally disconnected from the Father. Way down here, singing good old gospel songs about someday when we get over there. When we cross Jordan's River and we get over on the other side, there God has a place of peace and rest. I'm already over there. I already crossed the river. Have you crossed the river? Why don't you just come on over? Come over into the reality that you're already over. Take your place. Enjoy your seat. Enjoy yourself. If you got something, you don't have to scream and yell. Your Father's right there at your side. Father. And there's no more panic praying. A lot of folks view praying as panicking. That's their idea of praying, that praying is a form of panicking. Panicking over your circumstances. You would never panic. Now get me on this. You would never panic if you were seated in heavenly place, if you saw yourself seated far above. Would you ever panic? No, so praying isn't panicking, as many people think it is. Prayer is not agonizing. When we pray, we agonize over what we want from God. Praying is not agonizing. Praying is not striving to get something. Praying is not fearing. I'm trying to renew some minds here tonight, because this is the mentality that a lot of people have about prayer. They pray full of fear. Fear, fear, But praying is not fearing. Praying is not begging. A lot of people think, you know, praying is a spiritual form of begging. But you know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging, begging bread. That would include spiritual bread. That would include spiritual provision. If you're righteous, thank God we've been made right in the sight of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen a righteous begging. So praying, therefore, could not be spiritual begging. Praying is not drowning. I saw a lot of folks pray like they are drowning. They're going under. They're going under and they're crying out to God, help me, God, help me, God. If you're seated with God, how could you be drowning? See, when you understand your seat, no more panic, no more fearing, no more striving, no more agonizing, no more begging. You're seated. You're far above. Praying is not drowning. Praying is not wishing for God to do something. Put me on your wish list. That's what people mean most of the time when they say, pray for me. Put me on your wish list. We're wishing for something. Forget the wishing. And understand you're seated. Many think that without problems, it is purposeless to pray. That's the mentality of a lot of folks. Without problems, it's purposeless to pray. Why would you pray if everything's going great? This is the mentality of a lot of people. We see it in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, every time it went well for them, they were prospering, things were going good, no one's praying. Nobody's seeking the Lord. Everybody's doing their own thing. And then all of a sudden, something happens. Something bad's happened. The Philistines are coming. And they run and they start praying, crying, panicking, agonizing, striving, crying, begging God to help us. But as long as there's no problem, there's no reason to pray. Without problems, it's purposeless to pray. That's how it is in most people's minds. Because they think prayer is all these things we just talked about. But it's not. Prayer is a flowing brook of communication with God. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. That's what happens when you begin to communicate with God. When you begin communicating with Him, you understand you are communicating with wisdom Himself. And so as you're communicating with Him in this heavenly place, from this place in the Spirit, your heart, your spirit is reaching into the depths of God's wisdom and drawing out that wisdom, drawing out treasures of wisdom. Your words begin to become containers of spiritual treasure, heavenly treasure. Now we got weighty words. Now we got words full of power. Why? Because we're praying. Praying is powerful. Praying is empowering. I said, turn to someone and tell them, maybe you wake up. Tell them, praying is empowering. Praying is empowering. You're communicating with God and you think about a flowing brook. You think about a stream that is flowing over the rocks. It's very peaceful. It's very tranquil. Because praying is peaceful. When you're praying, you're resting. You're enjoying peace and tranquility. We see that in Philippians chapter 4. He says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Really? Really, Lord? Yeah, nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. We're talking about praying. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what is praying? What is happening when you're praying? You're experiencing peace, not panic. You're becoming peaceful, restful, and this is a peace. It surpasses all understanding. You become comfortably numb. So praying people are some of the most peaceful people on the face of the earth. And why wouldn't you be peaceful when you're seated far above in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Far above the trouble, far above the mess. See, you see the place that you're in. That's where you pray from. You don't pray down here in the muck and the mire. In other words, you don't pray according to the flesh. You don't pray out of the flesh. You don't pray because of the flesh. You pray because you believe God. You believe God, and you know that you're one with Him. You're seated with Him far above these things. And now, in a very peaceful way, as we're communing with praying, communing with God, the brook is flowing. The wisdom is flowing on how to deal with the muck, how to deal with the mire. How do I get my foot out of there? All right, I got my foot out, but my shoe came off. It's stuck in the mud. Lord, how do we get that? We're talking to Him about it. And peace is there because wisdom is flowing. The brook is flowing. Come on. We're communing with God far above this mess. And we're saying, hey, my flesh is going through these things. These are the things that are going on in the natural. How do we deal with these things? How do we confront these things? What should we do about this? And we're speaking to God in prayer from this place of already having the victory, even though things in the flesh are stuck in the mud. Even though things in the flesh are stuck in the mud, you're not. You're not. And when you see that you're not stuck in the mud, but you're seated in a very comfortable place, far above it all, it won't be long until out of the muck and the mire, the flesh comes. Somebody say, I got victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Praying is edifying. I love praying. Why? It's edifying. Now, a lot of folks don't like to pray. Why? Because they're panicking. It's troubling. Praying is troubling for a lot of people. You know? There were some folks, and they were going through a trial and a test, and they were all talking about what to do, and finally somebody spoke up and said, maybe we should pray. And then someone else chimed in and said, has it come to that? Has it come to that? Oh, glory to God. We got to get our minds renewed, friend, of where we're praying from. We're praying from a heavenly place. Heavenly, not hellish. Not a hellish place. A heavenly place. And it's a very edifying experience. When you pray, it is edifying. We see that in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when talking about praying in tongues. It's not limited to tongues. But notice in tongues, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Again, we're communicating with God. That's prayer. He speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Notice that he who speaks in tongues is speaking to God. He's communicating with God. And what's happening as he's communicating with God? He's getting edified. If you're really praying, then you're getting edified. You're edifying yourself. What does that mean? That means you're building yourself up. You're building yourself up. That's why over in Jude 20, the Bible says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying is edifying. Praying is building. Building you up. It is not wearing you out. That's good news. If you're wearing yourself out praying, you're not praying from your heavenly seat. You're seeing yourself as a victim. You're seeing yourself under an attack. You're seeing yourself under the devil's attack. But that's not really where you are, so why believe lies? Why not just believe the truth and enjoy it? And then, oh, glory be to God, prayer will be easy. It'll be enjoyable. It'll be edifying. Amen. It'll be refreshing. Praying is ruling and reigning. Because again, when we're talking about being seated, we're talking about authority. We're talking about ruling and reigning. So whenever you're praying, you're ruling and reigning. When you're communicating with God, you're ruling and reigning. You're already ruling and reigning. Before you even see what you're asking for, you're already ruling and reigning just by praying from your heavenly seat. You're ruling, you're reigning, you're conquering. Praying is enjoying the very source of everything enjoyable. Because he is the source of everything enjoyable. Huh? And praying is enjoying. It's enjoying. Enjoying the source of everything. So therefore, it's fulfilling. Without praying, people are just existing and not really living. I didn't have time to pray. Good, you're existing. You're just existing if you're not praying. If you're not communing with God, you're not communicating with him, you don't even see your seat. If you understood if you became very conscious of where you were seated spiritually, you'd become very conscious of God because he's right there next to you by your side. And he's hard to ignore. It's tough to ignore God. You got God sitting next to you, you got lightning bolts coming out of him, you got thunder roaring, he's right there next to you. It's like, oh yeah, God. When you understand your seat, you understand Jesus. You just want to worship and pray. Pray. Glory be to God. Praying is humbling. Oh, glory. That's such a freeing place. So praying is freeing. Praying is freeing because it's humbling. It's humbling. It is deflating. It deflates pride. And I think that is why people struggle so much with getting prayer started, because there's so much pride, so much of self, so much of me, so much of the flesh that they're conscious of, that praying seems so difficult. But once you start praying, you start deflating all that pride. Pride doesn't like to pray. The flesh doesn't want to pray. It doesn't see any purpose in it because it doesn't even see God. But the spirit by faith sees God. It sees God. It's seated next to God. And so when you just start pressing through that pride and you start praying, start communing with God, start worshiping God, start talking with your heavenly Father, start praying in the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? that pride is going to spring a leak. And it's going to deflate. And you are going to find yourself in a much more humble place. You're going to find yourself humble, which is going to cause you to have no cares. Because one of the big indications of pride is cares. Full of cares. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Getting the cares off, getting the worries off, getting out of that place of anxiety and fear and panicking and all these things. Get all that off you. Become humble and become peaceful and restful and start enjoying your place in God. And friend, you can start enjoying it now. You have permission to enjoy life now. You don't have to wait for everything to change in the flesh for you to enjoy life now. Because life is really something that's spiritual more than it is natural. The natural life comes out of the spiritual life. It's where you are spiritually. That's life. I said, that's life. And you and I are in him far above all the mess. So praying is amazing. Praying is amazing. Praying is wonderful. So he says, well, what about intercession? What about interceding and pleading and groaning and crying out to God for help? Well, you see, that's done in the spirit. That is a totally different thing than pleading and crying for something in the flesh out of fear and anxiety and worry, feeling detached from your heavenly Father. When you're interceding, that's something the Spirit of God will put on you, and you'll do it in the spirit, and it really isn't even your own pleading. It isn't even your own utterance. It's the Spirit of God just flowing through you. And friend, there is victory in that. When you find yourself yielding to the Holy Spirit, it isn't because you're loaded down with cares at all, even though it could appear that way, you know, because you're crying sometimes and you're groaning and travailing in the Spirit and interceding and pleading in the Spirit, so to speak. But man, you're being refreshed. You're enjoying the ride as the Spirit of God is giving you utterance and reaching out to help other people, to help bring other people into the kingdom of God. So there's victory in that. You are praying with expectation when you are interceding. There's expectation and victory in that. So in other words, praying is all about victory. Praying is all about victory. It is victory, man. Praying is refreshing. It's exhilarating. It's edifying. It's building up. It's peaceful. It's enjoyable. Oh, it's awesome. Amen. We're not down here trying to storm the gates of heaven through our praying. A lot of folks say, "Let's come on, people, gather together. We're going to pray and storm the gates of heaven." Storm the gates of heaven. Storm the gates of heaven. The last group to storm the gates of heaven got cast out and thrown down and placed in chains of darkness. Became a bunch of demons. That's the last group that I know of that stormed the gates of heaven. I ain't doing it. And why would you storm the gates of a place that you already occupy? Why would, you already are in heaven. You're already in heaven in the Spirit, seated in heavenly places. So we're not trying to storm the gates of heaven. We're already there. No storm. No battering rams. That's how a lot of people see it, you know, heaven. You sit there. Boom.
God, I know you're in there, God. I believe on you. I'm going to knock this gate down. You all help me now. We're going to get in there and get our answer. No, thank God, you're already in there. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, they didn't have this under the old covenant. And so Micah said by the Spirit, he said, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, and the Lord's going to open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing. Say, that window's going to open up there. Oh, it's about to come down. The blessing's about to come. And we're waiting for the window to open up, for the blessing to come down. And people are like, where's my blessing? I'm waiting for the blessing to come down. Well, that's ridiculous. You're a New Testament church. You got better promises. You're not waiting for the window to open up. Bless God, you're inside the house. You don't need somebody to open the window. Here it is. I mean, that'd be good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the children of Israel had it good. I mean, they're giving their tithes. God opens the window. He goes, here, guys. Here's a blessing for you. Ooh, you can't handle that, can you? See you next Sabbath. So we're still down here going, where's my blessing? Where's my blessing? Meanwhile, it's like, he's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed. Now that word should be translated praised, but sometimes translators get confused. But that should say praised. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now that's a different word right there in the Greek. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Are you in Christ? He's blessed you. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You don't have to wait here in the earthly realm waiting for the heavenly window to open up and pour you out a blessing when you got every blessing in the house. You got every blessing in the house. If you want to access a blessing, if you want to utilize a blessing, you got it right there with you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means we are not down here waiting to get blessed. We already got it. Put it on. Put on the blessing and declare, I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out, because I have what I say. I got access to the whole blessing, all the blessings of heaven. Ephesians chapter 1.
verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Again, we see there, Jesus is in heaven and yet he's on the earth. When he was on the earth, he was yet in heaven. You and I are connected to heaven. In the same way your body is connected to your head. That's how you spiritually are connected to Christ. You're right there with him. You're a part of him. And he's a part of you. It's all yours. See, how do I utilize it? How do I walk in it? Only believe. Only believe. It really is that simple. Only believe. Because when you believe, when you're believing, you're receiving. When you're believing, you're taking. When you're believing, you're accessing and walking in this reality. Jesus was constantly manifesting whatever things he desired. Why? Because he was constantly believing. He constantly believed in his place in the Father. The Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And now he says to you, now you are in me, and I in you, and we are in the Father. And as we believe, we receive. We have, we walk in, we're enjoying. It's happening. Life is good. Somebody say, life is really good. See, you can hear the gears turning. You can hear the gears. Can you hear them? Listen. You can hear the gears. I feel the gears turning in people's heads. Because why? Because they're still striving to get this. Striving. They cannot see themselves simply believing it is. They are so used to striving for that they can't see that it is. It is. It is finished. It is done. And it removes all. Praying is not striving. The striving is gone. We're not striving. We're not agonizing. We're not worrying. We're not panicking. We're not doing any of these things. We're resting. We're enjoying. We're having. We're saying. We're taking. We're living. Right now. I'm free. Stop trying to be free. Stop begging God to set you free. Stop asking God to help you. Take it away, Jesus, take it away. You don't have to pray, take it away anymore. It's been taken. Come on. He has delivered you from the power. Oh, my goodness. He has delivered you from the powers of darkness. What does that mean? That means he delivered you from every kind of sin, every kind of addiction, every kind of bondage. When he raised you up, made you sit together with him far above in the heavenly places. He pulled you out of that already. Why are you acting like you're still in it? Why are you still acting like a slave to the thing? Why are you still acting like you're trapped in this thing and I don't know how to change it? I don't know how to make it go away. I don't know how to make it stop. Bless God. You've already been disconnected from it. It can go and go and go, but bless God, you're not. You've already been pulled up out of that. Somebody say, I'm up and out of the muck and the mire. I'm living way up higher. Enjoying Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Messiah. Can you say amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's stand on our feet and thank him tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.